can't decide and torn between a romantic, comedy, action, or an indie film to watch for the weekend? Well, 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 Golden State Media Concepts Movie Podcast is your ultimate guide to the latest movies. Join Jordan, Keith, and Mariano as the trio dissects what's latest on the blockbusters. It's the Golden State Media Concepts Movie Podcast.
After spending a couple weeks relearning the English language, it's the Golden State Media Concepts Movie Podcast with Jordan,
Mariano,
and Keith.
Captain Keith.
What were you doing, man?
Lieutenant Mariano, General Jordan.
Having to relearn the English language. What happened?
President of the United States, Jordan.
I think he hit his head.
Is that what it was?
Probably.
Did you have a rager somewhere? What's going on?
Just having a good day. Just having a good day and try my best to make sure this is best podcast it can be. So, Speaking of being the best podcast it can be, we're going to review movies for an unprecedented amount of time. It will be at least 30 minutes. So, on top of that, we are going to also be reviewing two specific movies and not just movies in general. Those movies would be Equals with not Mila Kunis, but Kristen Stewart. Why would you think Mila Kunis? And on top of that, we also have the very lovely BVS.
Batman vs. Superman, the ultimate edition.
Bible Vacation.
DVD release. Just came out on Blu-ray
Batman
this week.
Batman vs. Superman with 30 extra minutes of Batman and Superman, presumably. So where do we start? I guess it would be with Equals.
Yes.
Do you want to start with the premise, Captain Keith? Or?
Sure. So
you're really holding on to this Captain Keith thing.
I'm loving it.
Can we give him up with more nicknames? I'm not saying let's not use that, but let's Captain Keith, 10 different nicknames.
Yeah,
Add a little variety to his name.
He's on his way. Like two more podcasts, he'll be Lieutenant Colonel Keith, you know?
Where
does that leave us here?
I don't know what to tell you, bro.
I've got plans for you.
I know.
You'll be second lieutenant.
I haven't seen him. I'm just seeing a lot of fluff for Keith.
We don't need any hateration. I've explained this to you, Jordan. I have. So, anyway.
I'm below you. I'm below everybody.
So, Equals. So, you know.
We're not equals. I'm just kidding. Go ahead.
We're all equals, Mariano.
Dystopian science fiction film about the future, where in the future, emotions and love are considered a sickness and a disease.
Aren't they?
So, you know, when you watch this film, it has a real sterile feel to it.
It does. A really bland kind of.
Yes. It really does. I mean, so when you see that in the cinematography, and that works for the film. So the story is about Nicholas Holt, who's also from Warm Bodies, did a great job in that film, plays Silas.
That's where I saw, okay.
Yes. And then Kristen Stewart, you know, from Twilight, she plays Nia. So basically, you know, this is a story about the two of them winding up having feelings for each other, and it's illegal. It's not allowed. It's a sickness. It's a disease.
Not even illegal. It's more like unthinkable.
Yeah,
it's
exactly. Crazy. So, you know, so the movie is based on their relationship and how they handle that relationship and how they deal with the society that they're living in and how they feel trapped. The only time they're not trapped is when they're together.
Well, when they're like hidden, when they're alone.
Exactly.
Together, right.
Thank you. Exactly. So that's what's going on. I mean, it's got a great supporting cast. It is good to see Guy Pearce again. You know, he's a great actor. So it was good to see him. And there is a person, she plays Bess. I like her a lot. She is also, Jackie Weaver. She's also on Blunt Talk with Patrick Stewart. So, I mean, she's a supporting character. I mean, so these are their allies in this film. But, yeah, Guy Pearce plays Jonas. So Guy Pearce is also in, L.A. Confidential. And that movie, Jordan, you know the movie where he forgets his Memento. Yeah.
Memento.
Yeah. 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 That's his claim to fame as well. So the cast was good in that regard. But yeah, so that's what the movie's about. That's the premise. A dystopian, cold-hearted future where, you know, emotions and love are sickness and a disease and they're unthinkable. You shouldn't have it at all. So, and it's directed by Doremus.
I was like, what?
Yes. Yeah, that's his name. And he also directed a film called Breathe In. A miniseries called The Beauty Inside. He did Like Crazy, a film called Douchebag, which I need to check out, Spooner, and a movie short called The Shirt. So he's done a few things here and there. yeah, a douchebag, though. I need to see what's going on with that. But so, yeah, that's the premise. That's what's going on with Equals and Fellas.
You know what?
That was a terrible movie.
Yeah, it was. It was boring. I was telling Jordan last night, it took me about 3 days to watch this movie.
Ouch.
Yeah, because
that's bad.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, but let me be fair. The actors were good.
Right.
It's not Kristen Stewart. I'm sorry, what was the main actor's name one more time, please?
So it's Nicholas Holt.
Right, who plays Silas.
Yes.
They were fine. Yeah. I understand.
They actually had chemistry.
Yeah, they actually did. And yeah. and it's weird, like in a cool way, they're supposed to be bland, so I get that. But even whilst being bland, they still have chemistry. And they did a really good job being passive aggressive when people, when they had problems with each other.
Yes.
Because they like the bland aggressiveness, I felt it still.
Yes.
But the movie itself was just too boring. Not because of them, but just... It was just not enough for me. Like the apartment was super cool, the way it shifts around.
Yes.
But there were, I watched the first day I tried. I watched the first 40 minutes. I got bored. I started Batman versus Superman, and then I started again. I got from 40 to 120. Got bored, and then I finished the movie. It's too slow. The way I was phrasing it was it's like The Island, mm-hmm. but The Island was better.
Okay. Wow.
I think that it's one of those very generic sci-fi movies where, for some reason, in every dystopian like sci-fi where we fixed like everything, world hunger, this, that, and everything's perfect, we like eliminate something like love, or we eliminate like sex or emotions or anything that people enjoy. So they're like, but that's not a utopian. And it's very like weird that for some reason everyone just thinks, let's just not have any more emotions. But beyond that, the movie just – it stays boring. I totally understand where you're coming from.
Yeah,
I was able to watch it in one sitting, but I didn't want to. I didn't want to watch the movie at all.
You phrase it perfectly. It stayed boring. I couldn't really deal with it too much.
And beyond that, it's that cool thing where a sci-fi dystopian, it'll introduce like a piece of technology like The Apartment where it's like, oh, that's neat. But the movie doesn't follow up on things like that.
Yeah.
It follows up on things that are like, they're not relatable enough. They're not relatable. It's kind of like you're listening to a hippie protest song about what's going to happen in 20 years from 1970 whenever the government's brains have all, you know, captured people. Like it's something that's so outlandish and they're trying to make a point that's just so off the mark that it's impossible to relate to the point they're trying to make.
But can I be
clear?
And
it just makes for an unrelatable, dumb sci-fi.
Can I just be clear and then we'll let Captain Keith. I understand it's supposed to be bland. But The Island was supposed to be bland and very, like, clinical for me was the word, like, scrub clean of...
Yeah, sanitary.
Exactly. But it was too boring. The Island had just enough while they were in the island to stay interesting. But then they got out of the island, you know? And they had to fend for themselves, and that was interesting. The actors did a great job, but it was too much of it for me. Mm. What'd you think?
So... I didn't love the film. I don't think I dislike as much as you guys do.
Okay.
But I will say this, though. So, like I said, so when you look at the cinematography and you see the sterility of the film and the blandness of it, that's definitely on purpose.
Yeah, exactly.
The director accomplished his vision and goal with that. And hats off to you with that. And like you said, the cast is great.
Yeah.
So I guess my issue is that, you know, I get tired of the dystopian films where the future always has to be so bland and bleak. You know that to me that wears thin. This premise, so like I had a problem with the premise in general for the most part. But so I was slightly agitated watching the film. I wasn't bored. I was a little agitated with the premise of it. But when I watched how Kristen Stewart's character Nia and Nicholas Holt's Silas interacted with each other, they drew me in. This film basically is about, can you control your emotions? Can you control love?
Right.
And
this film to me was more like a conquering film. Like even though you're not supposed to, they still do.
Right. So,
I felt like you could see it coming.
I don't love the film. I don't hate the film. I'm in the middle. So I kind of like it. But so on a scale of 1 to 10, I give it a 6. That's where I'm at with it. I don't give it a 5. I give it a 6 because at the end of the day, you know, I liked where it headed towards the end. I mean, it started to some. The movie got more interesting towards the end of the film. It started wrapping things up.
I think it didn't. I think it
think it got worse.
I think it got worse. I think it was so hard to be engaged with it. Like, if I had to give a rating, it'd be like a 3.
Yeah.
And that's a generous rating. I think that you wasted really good actors with really good abilities to play these roles that I think anyone can do, which is just being cold and emotionless as you say lines.
Okay.
You know what?
Do you think it was worse than The Shallows or better than The Shallows?
I think that I didn't like them both for different reasons, but at least The Shallows I didn't like a lot because that wasn't my kind of thing, you can say. Yeah. I think universally – there's this episode of Community. It was a season 5, and they did this thing where they parodied dystopian, like, 70s cheesy sci-fi. And honestly, I think – I would rather watch that concept into a movie than this, what it actually did. And that was a joke. Like, I feel like and we're about to have to go to commercial break. My thing about the Community thing was, though, that it seemed like it was parodying Equals before Equals even came out. So I feel like that's how cliche Equals was to me.
I would much rather watch this than The Shallows if I had to choose. The way you guys feel about this movie is the way I feel about The Shallows completely.
I feel both, like negative towards both, but I guess so, we can talk the rest about that in the wrap up. We're going to come back, and when we do, we're going to be doing Batman versus Superman. So, guys, hang tight.
See you soon. But not too tight.
Yes.
Are you looking for help for your fantasy football team? Check out the GSMC Fantasy Football Podcast. Get today's best advice on who to start, who to sit, even who you should draft. From sleeper picks to red-hot lineups, they got it all covered for you. That's gsmcpodcast.com/fantasy-football-podcast. We'll cover traditional leagues, dynasty, PPR, even IDP leagues. When you need fantasy help, there's just one show to hit up. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit gsmcpodcast.com for more info.
Hey, welcome back. This is Keith, and you're listening to Golden State Media Concepts Movie Podcast.
This is who?
Captain Keith.
There you go.
With
Mariano.
Jordan and Mariano. And we were just talking about Equals, and now we're about to talk about the new DVD release of Batman vs. Superman.
The Ultimate
Dawn
Edition.
Of Justice Ultimate Edition. There you go. That's what's up.
Yep.
Yes. Yeah. So this just came out this past Tuesday. This version of the movie, this DVD Ultimate Edition, has an additional 30 minutes added to the film that was not in the theatrical release. So, and when you read about it, people are like, okay, either this is going to make you like the film if you didn't like it, or you'll hate it, or you'll be lukewarm. I mean, this movie was very polarizing for a lot of people.
Definitely. I totally agree that the 30 minutes made a huge difference. I won't say in what way just yet.
Yes.
Do you mind if I do the premise?
Go for it.
So the premise of this movie is that this is in the universe where this original Superman had already happened. So General Zod and Superman had already had their fight. And a lot of people, of course, were very grateful. A lot of people love Superman as the, you know, the godly hero that he is, which to us, you know, he's a god.
Yes.
But a lot of people had questions, kind of like the Avengers, where is it because you're here that these things are coming to us? Is it because of you? And then a lot of people were like, look, you fought this guy and ruined almost everything.
Yes.
You know, when they fought, they went through buildings and all these crazy things. And like... Mm-hmm. One thing was they started to question, like, is he a god or is he something other than a god? You know, something equally as powerful, but
is
maybe...
Is he an evil alien?
Exactly.
Is he a devil?
Right.
Is he a false god?
Exactly. And then begins the question, well, what are we supposed to do if you ever decide that we're no good?
Right.
You know? And that brings up a problem for Batman because he's like, I don't like that. You have too much power.
Yes.
And so he, you know, starts telling Alfred, like, I'm not sure how I feel about this. And Alfred's trying to kind of wean him off of the idea. But he's like, no, you know, I won't be swayed. So... A lot of the movie is Batman secretly trying to be as Bruce Wayne, figuring out what's going on behind the scenes, while Lex Luthor, who's played by Jesse Eisenberg, who does a good job, I think, as Lex Luthor.
Yes.
And
feels the same way that Batman
exactly.
does.
Exactly. And he's doing his own thing with his own secret agenda with Kryptonite.
Yes.
And it's interesting because you see the mixture. I think this movie did a better job than the Superman movie of showing what Superman's capable of, especially the extended version. Like, I love, you know, when...
But I love Man of Steel. That was my movie, man. That was worth waiting 20 years for.
Man of Steel. Oh, please, yes. Man of Steel was a good movie.
Yeah.
And yeah. I probably like... I don't know.
We can talk about that later. Yeah, later.
Man of Steel was good, but this one just showed Superman's ability better to me.
Okay.
I love when, you know, Superman's trying to find out... I'm sorry, excuse me. Batman is trying to find out some information... And Superman, with his, you know, with all his talents, he just has ways of finding things out anyway, you know?
Right.
And then, you know, there's that special guest in the movie that I'll wait to
Yeah, okay. Yeah. All right, right on.
Well, I guess technically there's two, but the movie's great. And then it comes to
the
point.
Are we talking about Wonder Woman?
Well, yeah, yes. I mean, yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, because she's on the cover of the, of the DVD.
Yeah, no,
so,
and that's no secret.
And people
yeah.
have seen the film, right, okay. so we can actually.
Okay,
even,
fine. Then Doomsday as well. And but my favorite, like, I guess, little part of the movie is when Batman and Superman slowly start to collide.
Oh, yeah.
Batman's doing his thing. Superman's doing his thing. They dislike each other's methods, and you kind of see that.
And the 30, yeah, go ahead.
Exactly.
The 30 minutes explains why that's it's exactly. it's building up. It
right.
gives you that crescendo.
And
so.
And I think one of my favorite parts is right when Batman's chasing the bad guys and they have that first like initial actual contact.
Uh-huh.
That was good.
Oh yeah.
You know, and then they have their big old battle scene and then Doomsday comes in and, you know, and now they have to focus on something a little bit bigger.
Right. So, thank you for that premise.
Yeah.
It's directed by Zack Snyder, who also directed 300. He directed Man of Steel, Sucker Punch, Watchmen, Dawn of the Dead. So Zack's been doing his thing.
Do you notice that a lot of his movies have that like kind of gray color overtone?
Yeah.
I like it though.
You know what
I
liked about
That's his thing.
You know what I liked about this movie and 300 and Sucker Punch?
It's what?
Was kind of the cartoony physics.
Hmm.
Like a lot of the car chases, think of, you know, or the buildings where you're like, that really wouldn't be able to slam into that.
But you see, I disagree with you. What I like about what Zack Snyder did with this film and Man of Steel is he did for Man of Steel and Batman vs. Superman what Chris Nolan did for the Batman trilogy. Chris Nolan made the Batman trilogy actually seem like it could happen
like
in real life.
I agree, but
and
made
Zack
it so
Snyder
much
did the
more
same
plausible.
Thing with Man of Steel and Batman vs. Superman. That seemed like it could be real, because if we had a Superman in America right now, those issues you spoke about in the premise would apply. You know, like, okay, yeah, we like what you did, but you got too much power and you destroyed these things. You should be held responsible. We would be talking like that.
Oh, you're totally right. I'm strictly talking in terms of physics.
Yeah. Well, so am
no,
I.
No,
okay. So am I.
Like the cartoony, it feels like a cartoony physics kind of thing too.
Okay.
Just like
all right. Yeah, for me, it felt just very real, dark and real.
I think that's what the gray overtones go. He's trying to make something that looks cold and gritty and kind of like.
I loved it.
Yeah, I loved it too.
As real
loved
as
it.
Possible. And, I went back and I watched Man of Steel in preparation of this, and I think that there's a lot of things I liked more about Man of Steel, and I think a problem that I have with Batman vs. Superman is that I liked Man of Steel more than it, because I really loved Batman, and I really loved Superman in it. I mean, I'm okay with Superman. I respect him. I appreciate it. But I was hoping that them meeting would be something that was bigger. And I know it's a very polarizing movie. A lot of people are going to disagree with me, and a lot of people are going to agree with me. But I kind of wanted something a movie that has to be bigger than any Superman movie could be and any Batman movie could be.
I don't know.
I got that from this film. Like I said, I loved the film when I saw it in the theater. I loved it even more with the new 30 minutes. I loved it even more.
I think that
I didn't think it was possible.
I think the 30 minutes were good.
I loved it.
It kind of helped. You know, I think a lot of people that had certain issues, those are going to be resolved with the 30 minutes. But I think that the 30 minutes weren't a cure all to some of the problems.
I don't think there was. Any
I think that yeah. I think that, and for, I'm saying for some people. I mean, you're a big fan of it, but
I didn't have any.
This
problems
was a polarizing movie. You said that yourself earlier that this is something that not everybody's going to like. I think the 30 minutes are going to help, but it's not going to be the fix-all for everybody's problems with the movie.
I think it's going to be the fix-all for most people.
Yeah, me too.
I think it will.
I
think
say
it's going to be the fix-all for most people.
It was definitely the fix-all for me. Because I said exactly that, was that the fight scene, it just wasn't enough. It's Superman, you know, and Doomsday and Wonder Woman and Batman.
But you see the problem. Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, you're okay. But you know, I want to address that a tiny bit, because you're saying it needs to be bigger. I think the fact that half
it was
of it,
bigger to me.
Well, it was bigger, but I think half of it, like the fact that it was Batman, he's a human, it's supposed to be a little smaller. He's Batman. I thought it was going to be craftier, which it was, you know. But I think the extended version, the extended fight scenes, were exactly what I was craving.
Oh, yes.
In the original,
this was epic. Even after watching this film yesterday, man, I'm going to buy the score. Even this, I was enjoying the score as well. I mean, everything was perfect for me. You know, I wasn't real happy, okay, with the opening desert scene with Lois Lane. I wasn't real a fan of her dialogue in that. I didn't like her dialogue at all in that opening scene.
I agree.
Not
with
even
you
in the theatrical release. I didn't like that. I didn't care for her at that part. She was unlikable to me in that part of the movie.
Okay.
I liked her in the rest of the film, but that part I didn't care for.
I think I agree with you. I think Lois Lane was like a snowball that was continually being more, you know, someone that credible as a character and also more likable throughout. And,
yeah,
you know, kind of going back on the movie, I think that she kind of continued to prove herself as somebody that was
sure
that yeah. held her own, that wasn't just yeah. the constant damsel in distress.
Right. Right. And see, the thing about this film, they call it Dawn of Justice. No, they could have called it Dawn of Justice League, but that would have been giving away too much to people. So, because that's what this really is. I mean, because what people need to understand, and for those who haven't read the comic book, okay, so these two men are defined by their families. Jonathan and Martha Kent are the reason why Superman is such a good guy.
Right.
The death of
Mr. and Mrs. Wayne. Yeah.
yeah, are the reason why Batman is driven to fight crime.
Yes.
So their parents are their Achilles heel. So Bruce Wayne was taught to only trust Alfred for the most part. Clark Kent was taught on a farm in Kansas to be a good, hardworking, honest, trustworthy person.
I think,
and give people the benefit of the doubt. Bruce Wayne wasn't taught to give no, but you have to earn that from him.
I love that. Can I articulate that?
Yes.
Bruce Wayne was raised in a billion-dollar business world where it's you're calculated. There's no such thing as you know, like love, favors.
Yes.
Superman.
Yes.
Clark Kent was raised to believe in people and ideals and to stand yes. up for what you know.
Yes.
And I think they can both afford that because while Superman's style is this brute strength, you have Batman who everything is very strategic from the gadgets that he uses serving a
the world's greatest detective.
Exactly.
Yeah. They're these personality types that go beyond their fighting styles, but they're very interconnected. Batman has to be this guy, this gritty, doesn't trust anyone. Oh, there's a Superman, seems so good to be true.
Right. Just look at them. One of them wears a mask and one of them
doesn't. Because he wouldn't be the Superman. He wouldn't be the superhero he is. I mean, I know he is.
And what the world doesn't realize is that you all have to wait when you're watching this film for them to overlap. And once they do, it all makes sense.
Yeah.
But that's what you're waiting for because it's going to happen. Because even though they have two different backgrounds, their similarities are stronger than they realize. But they have to get past all the emotional baggage first.
It's like you ever noticed?
And Lex Luthor really does have a problem with Superman.
Yeah.
I mean, he sees him as an evil alien. Seriously. That's who he is.
Definitely.
That's how he operates.
You know how we just did the Infiltrator last episode. And
yeah.
what was really great about it was that the villains, you felt conflicted when it was over. Despite Lex Luthor feeling like he was doing what he was supposed to do, like feeling like he was in the right, I don't think that was something that really fell upon me. Like, that's not something that I was like, okay, well, maybe, you know, I understand where he's coming from with that. Now,
but I enjoyed his darkness. I enjoyed watching that character.
I feel like they were trying to create this character that you kind of wanted to have some sympathy for and some kind of understanding, knowing that he's trying to come from this good place. But really,
Possibly. He
was just kind of being an unlikable villain to me.
I liked him.
Yeah, I thought he was brilliant.
I thought he was a brilliant lunatic. There's no way you're going to root for him in any way, you know. That they were trying to do.
I did because you have to understand that the idea, like agree and disagree is one thing, but just understand that he was doing what he thought needed to be done, and that makes him hard to be unlikable.
Yes.
You know.
Well, yeah, and I love what he said about you know the lie about the heroes don't come from the sky.
Exactly.
The devils do.
Yeah.
And the whole thing with the painting, I loved all of that.
That was a fun scene.
And
I loved Wonder Woman in it too.
She was amazing.
That worked for it.
Gal Gadot, she was amazing. I can't wait for her movie comes out next year. I'm excited about that. We were waiting for a long time.
One thing
for,
I was looking for
her,
for
she
the
was
extra
awesome.
30 minutes was
as
for
Wonder
more
Woman.
Wonder Woman. That was one thing that I was looking forward to with the director's cut.
There was a little more.
There was a little more.
And with the fight scene, I mean. And I was happy.
She was so good in the fight scene. She almost stole the show from them guys.
I know.
She was great. Yeah, Gal Gadot was a star. So we're excited. I mean, I can't wait to see her Wonder Woman film next year.
Yeah, you guys.
Next year you're going to get Wonder Woman and Justice League.
Yeah.
So as of 2016, DC is now ready to give you two movies a year because
we
got Suicide Squad next month. So stay tuned for that. But yeah,
I'm so looking forward to that.
Yeah.
That's
okay. But we have a break.
We'll
talk some more. The Love Fest.
But we will see you guys very soon, and we'll do our wrap up of the two movies.
Yes.
So please hang in there. So
yes, right on.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching.
Hey!
The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch. Whatever it may be. Visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter and download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
Okay, so we're back now. We are, I promise. And
that's Jordan, I believe.
This is me, and that's Keith.
The famous Jordan, yes.
And we also have Mariano. So
yes.
Now that we're back, we're going to be doing our wrap-up. I think we have a lot to say about Batman vs. Superman, which is good.
The Ultimate Edition.
Yes. The Ultimate Edition, of course. Yes. I think we were talking about it in the break. My one thing that I wish that we could still do. I wanted to see more Wonder Woman in the movie.
I agree.
Wonder Woman, and I understand not putting Cyborg. I understand not doing Flash and Aquaman yet. But I feel like if Wonder Woman's already in there, just go ahead, throw her in.
I agree. I mean, I like what I got, but you can never have enough Wonder Woman. So
absolutely,
she's great. I'm looking forward to her movie. Gal Gadot, you're awesome. We're excited. This is a really big deal. I mean, this is a big deal. We finally found somebody to take that mantle from Linda Carter, who was the original Wonder Woman in the TV series, who's still around. So happy about that. So yeah, I agree with you, Jordan. Yeah, we could have got some more of that. My complaint would be, I could have taken 10, 20 more minutes.
Yeah,
you know, but I don't want to be fanboy.
An extra hour, yeah. And it would have been grueling. I would have finally had to take a pause, but that's what DVDs and Blu-rays are for. I think one thing that happens with DC heroes lately, as far as like in the public's eye, besides Batman, people don't really take DC superheroes very seriously. I mean, people have made some jokes.
Well, they take Superman serious. Yeah. I mean, Superman and Batman and Wonder Woman are actually they're the three iconic people in the DC universe that everyone recognizes.
I hear, and yeah, within the DC universe, but I think as Marvel's kind of popularity explosion came across, I see a lot more people making jokes about like how Wonder Woman's big thing is, you know, a rope, or how Aquaman's thing is talking to fish, or Superman's pretty much God, but except for a rock. But I think the movie did a good job, and what a lot of people are seeing, and that's why I wanted more Wonder Woman, is that it's kind of restoring respect to DC superheroes. They're kind of catching up, and now they're kind of getting more than just Batman's respect. I mean, Wonder Woman looked amazing in the movie, and I know for a fact a lot of people were kind of expecting something that was going to be below average because they know nothing about Wonder Woman other than the fact that she's a woman in tights and with a rope. But this movie showed how cool, how like...
Yeah, she's a mighty smart, wise Amazon who's kind of timeless, actually. You know, who can fly occasionally and has an invisible jet. But yeah, lasso of truth. But yeah, she comes from a matriarchal society.
The biggest significant thing about me is that they from the bit, you know, that you see of Wonder Woman, they did a good job. Like, it looks like she's heading in the right direction for a great movie. So I'm excited to see things like Aquaman, who's everyone – he's the biggest joke of super. Can we agree with that, people?
For a lot of people, he was. He never was for me. He never was for me.
Well,
I always liked Aquaman.
A lot of respect for DC heroes and just, like,
yeah,
superheroes
but he never
in
was,
general.
But Jason Momoa, who plays Aquaman, looks even more mean than Batman and Superman. So I'm excited to see his portrayal of Aquaman because
like
he looked
Aquaman.
Rough.
His name is Arthur Curry, right?
Yes. Yeah, but beyond our like personal opinions, just kind of generally.
No, I'm talking about the movie.
Aquaman doesn't really merit a lot of respect.
Well,
but I'm excited to see what they do.
He does lately, like I said. Because once again, you're speaking from someone who doesn't really read comic books. So within the last few years, actually, he does. So, but in the past, yeah, there were people who would make jokes about him, who had puns about him. But his writing has been really good for a little while now.
Yeah.
So that's why you're going to see him in Justice League and you're going to see him with his own movie, because now people are appreciating who he really is, because you never got a chance to always see that.
There is a language barrier beyond people that read comics and the people that will watch the comics and, you know, in the movies. So while I guess, you know, his reputation is kind of restored in the comics world, I'm excited because it looks like it's just kind of going to be restored in general, like where people aren't going to have a negative connotation with Aquaman, because the big majority of people that watch these, you know, movies, they're still not people that read comics, which goes to say a lot about how great these movies are.
Sure.
But I think that's what's going to be really exciting, is that it is changing the opinion, a general opinion that we've had for years about these things.
Well, DC's biggest problem in the past has been that they could never get past Batman and Superman. And now they're getting past Batman and Superman, but they had to use Batman and Superman for that vehicle to even happen.
Do what works, yeah.
So, because people need to understand, the Justice League was actually created before the Avengers. The Avengers was inspired by the Justice League, but this Justice League movie, of course, is coming after the Avengers movie. So, you know, comic book fans have been waiting for that movie for decades.
Yeah.
When the Avengers came out and it was so huge because people have been waiting decades for that film to happen. There used to be a time when Marvel was not good with movies at all, where they were on television and DC was in the movies with Superman and Batman. Those roles switched within the past 10 years. Now DC is taking over television with, you know, when they had Smallville, now they got Arrow, they got The Flash, they got Gotham, they got Supergirl. So that's all on television. Whereas back in the 80s, Marvel had the Incredible Hulk.
I don't think it's necessarily a flip. I know what you're talking about. No. I think there's a rise in DC versus Marvel.
But
as far as quality superhero movies, there's this big pickup. I mean, you still got.
But I'm telling
like
you, there is a flip. I'm giving you the history. I'm giving you the actual history. There is a flip. Marvel couldn't make a movie to save their life until Spider-Man happened. That's what I'm telling you. That's what happened. So there was a Fantastic Four film that you'll never see. That's bottled. That was so bad. So
I know about that. A lot of this is. Yeah, I think all of the Fantastic Four movies that came out.
Well, but Marvel was smart and pioneering. They said, okay, we're gonna just throw it all out there and see what sticks, and it's all been working. So they have forced DC to up their game. You're right about that.
You know what I liked was that. I like that Marvel, and I hope DC takes the same kind of thing where. A character that isn't enough for their own movie, I'm glad that they throw them in other movies. Like Black Panther came out with, you know, Civil War. But
he's getting his own movie, bro.
Oh, no, but he's good. I'm just using him. I actually really like him, and I think he'd make a good movie. I don't know, though, if Aquaman would make a good own movie. But, like, if it's Wonder Woman, I like Aquaman, too.
You got to look at Jason Momoa again, bro. You got to look at that guy. Look at what you saw in that film.
I'll look, but I'm not part of the Arthur Curry Hater Club. Like, uh-huh. But I think, in general, when they throw like two people in who maybe would make two okay movies but one great movie,
mm-hmm.
they did that, and that's smart. You know, I like that.
Well, yeah, they use that vehicle to spring off.
What's Black Hawk in Marvel? Black Hawk. The guy who with the metal
Falcon.
Wings. Falcon.
Huh? Yeah, the Falcon. Yeah.
Who's
actually the new Captain America in the comic book? Actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Steve Rogers retired.
Okay.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? Though,
yeah.
Like they added him good, or when they added Rhodey, War Machine.
Yes.
You know.
Yeah,
like those were great additives to
the
movies.
Sure,
you know?
Definitely. But yeah, I enjoyed this film. On a scale of 1 to 10, I give it a 10. I give it an 11.
So. I give it a 8. No, 8.5.
I'd give it an 8. I think 8 sounds good to me. 8 sounds fine.
You know what? I'm going to go back on it. I'll give it a 9.
Okay.
Only because, like I said, I wasn't happy with the opening dialogue with Lois Lane, that desert scene. I didn't care for her. She was unlikable to me in that part. But then as the movie progressed, you know, I start liking who she was again. But yeah, I didn't care for how that part was written in the story. That's my only big complaint about the movie. Really.
So what would what would your rank, or we did this I think already, for equals?
Equals, I'd give it a 3.
I gave it a 6.
You gave it a 6. I'm going to give it a 5. And the reason why I don't give it a 3, because I'm on the fence. I agree with Jordan that it was so boring, and it only got worse and worse to me. It didn't get better. It got worse.
Okay.
But I do appreciate the actors. Like, all of it was boring to me, but the best part was the actors. So it's not like the acting was terrible. It was just a boring, like, idea. But this is one boring idea, if this makes sense, that for what it was handled well. It was good. The props were okay. The things that they would, you know, work on were really cool.
Mm-hmm.
The world was nice. I liked it. I dig that. It was just not enough for me.
And, you know, when you say that, it does make me want to bump up, but really at the most a 4, because at the time, there's cool parts of the technology, and the actors were good, but I feel like the actors' talents were squandered on like a subpar kind of script and a subpar story to make.
But in a way, I disagree, though, because I personally think it'd be hard for a lot of actors – to do what they did and still make it as riveting as it was. I'm not saying it was the best thing in the world.
I'm not saying it was riveting. That's my thing.
Well, my thing is riveting considering they're supposed to be bland. They did a good job.
I can't give it a negative review in good conscience because I enjoyed the ending. Like I said, it wrapped up the film for me, and I walked away with a positive message from the film. Even though I still didn't care for that premise in general, mm-hmm. I don't really. Dystopian films usually just agitate me because it's always this bleak, bland future in sci-fi, and I don't think of science fiction that way. I'm okay with part of it being that way, but not the whole film being that world.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't like that, and I get tired of seeing that. So, but like I said, I like the ending. I did.
I think I don't mind the dystopian. I love dystopian. It's a very hard genre to really tackle, but I feel like this movie would have been better left in the 70s sci-fi with like Zardoz and things like that. You know what I mean? Felt like a 70s sci-fi movie more than something more recent. But that was the vibe I got from it, that this felt like something that was a bit too cheesy.
The director accomplished his goal with me, even though I was slightly agitated while watching. His message came across to me. That makes me even more agitated, actually. But yeah.
It's crazy that this is only 3 points below a movie that you want to buy a soundtrack to. I mean, this is...
No, it's more than 3 points.
But
well,
it really wasn't...
Oh, something, no, you're right, 3 points. Well, so you know what? I got to give it... So 9.5 for Batman versus Superman, since you said that. 9.5 or 10.
But it wasn't that bad. Like, it was just boring. I've seen, but like the acting was you know.
It was, yeah, and their chemistry was good.
Like Sharknado to me was stupid to the point of like.
But that's fun. It's so bad, it's good.
I can't. People say it's so bad, it's good. To me, it's so bad that it's unwatchable.
It's cool. Like I said, I think that's fun. I mean, that doesn't pretend to be anything than what it is. You have to take that. You have to look at it that way when you watch it.
Yeah, so. I don't know.
I feel like if you're making a, it's one thing if you're making a movie and it's so bad that it's good. But if you're making a movie to be so bad it's good, then it's kind of like you're copping out on yourself.
Yeah,
you see, like if I gave The Shallows a 5, I should have gave it like a 3 or a 2. I think I might have given it a 3 or 2. So I would much rather watch Equals over The Shallows any day.
I'd rather not watch either. Like if it was a desert island between those two, I would just instead bring food.
I'm sorry.
Let me ask you guys one quick question. Rate the original Batman vs. Superman and then the new one, and then why is there a jump or a decline?
Okay, so I guess I have to change my ratings on Batman vs. Superman again. So excuse me. I apologize, people listening. I apologize.
It's been a long journey on this review.
So theatrical release, I give that a 9.
Okay.
The Ultimate Edition, I give it a 10 or 11. I gotta, even though I didn't care for the opening dialogue with Lois Lane, I love that movie. I love it.
The theatrical.
Maybe if you just readjust every other movie, we won't have to go past the 10 mark.
The theatrical for me, I give like a 7.
Okay.
And then the extra 30 minutes made a huge difference. 9.
Yeah, there you go.
I'd say like it was a 6.5 or a 7 for me, a theatrical, and then I'd say it's probably an 8 now.
Okay, that's fair. So we all agree that it's worth watching.
Yeah, I could say
the
that.
Ultimate Edition. Pick that up. Yep. Yeah, I was excited to buy that.
I guess whether it's worth watching or not, it's definitely a movie worth talking about because I think this is our longest episode of movies podcast, and it was mainly because of Batman or Superman.
Now I get so much more than Captain America: Civil War.
You just had
feel much better now.
Save your precious time by not watching Equals. And use that to watch the extended Batman vs. Superman.
Or just listen to our podcast, I think.
There it is. You can do both. There you go.
Thanks for listening, guys. You can find us at gsmcpodcast.com, iTunes, SoundCloud, Google Play, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. I'm Mariano.
I'm Jordan.
I'm Captain T.
There you go. Do you want to sign us off?
And thanks again for listening. We appreciate all of you, and we will see you somewhere out in space.